And we are back with another fun and exciting episode of Shooting the Film Podcast, starring Greg Reese. Oh, Greg, happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
I just remembered today's your birthday.
Thank you. Well, yesterday.
Yesterday was the 21st. God, my days are mixed up.
They happy all run together.
So. Happy belated birthday.
Thanks.
And this is actually our first audio or video and audio podcast. We're giving it a try since a couple people wanted us to. And the wonderful Riverside Software gives us the opportunity to do it. Nice. Even though they want us to pay them more money to get better features, like everything. Sorry, I'm not paying $20 a month. That's just absurd, in my opinion. Anyways. So I know last time we talked, we said we were going to do a part two catch up. We're still going to, but while it's still relevant, we wanted to talk about two TV shows. One of them has kind of left the spotlight at this point, and the other one's still pretty hot off the press. Both shows starring Pedro Pascal, everybody's new favorite hunky Hollywood boy.
And both shows, he's trying to protect a young thing with special purposes.
But in one of them, he's not allowed to show his face a whole lot. And the other one, you see it the whole time. Because they took out the gas mask part of the story. So the first show we're going to talk about is HBO's exclusive The Last of Us.
Right.
And I for a minute there, me and Greg, we were talking a little bit before we started recording. Because I thought for sure he wouldn't have played the game. But I guess he did, or he watched his son play it. Which makes sense because they're both gamers.
Right.
But I was hoping to get a perspective from his view, because from what I've noticed online is a lot of people who really, really loved the show. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad show by any means, by the way. I enjoyed it for the most part. But people who really loved it and thought, like, nothing was wrong with it, or people who didn't play the game. I mean, this is for everything, you know? Even, like, books. Like, people are like, they, you know, that wasn't in it from the book. Oh, here we go. Our first cat attack. This is Ripley. So
my quick take, because I don't remember the game very much, to be honest. I remember really liking the story, but I didn't like how there'd be like 3 minutes of play and then like a 5 minute cutscene.
Yeah.
Then you go into a room and you're looking for like a first aid kit, but then there's another cutscene. And then I just wanted to shoot zombies.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a lot of that. So that's kind of my same complaint with the show, is there wasn't a lot of zombies for the most part. I think there's one episode where there's a bunch, but.
So from what I can remember from the show, I believe they only show up three times. It's either three or four. It's not a lot.
But one thing I like right away about the show, and why this could explain why there weren't as many zombies. Sorry, my screen's over here. My camera's over here. So I'm not sure where to look.
If you want to look like you're looking at the people while they're watching, stare at the camera lens.
Yeah, I'm staring at the camera.
Yeah, doing a good job at it.
Okay, so in the video game, it came out 2013.
Yeah.
And the outbreak took place in 2003, so it was like 10 years after the outbreak.
I think it was 20 years. I think they got that both right on the show. Both of them were 20 years apart. But the TV show was newer. It was, I think, 2007. Maybe not 20 years. No, man, I think you're right. More like 15, 16, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I forget what it was. But I think they used the same start date in the TV show as the video game, but they just stretched out
the years, 2023. Yeah.
And these zombies aren't like Walking Dead zombies where they magically stay alive forever no matter what.
No.
They actually die off if they don't have food. So that could explain why there weren't as many zombies in the TV show.
Yeah, but I mean, the writers pretty much admitted, yeah, they're not really in the first season. They said they wanted to focus more on like the human character aspect of it, which makes sense. But also at the same time, the zombies play a bigger role than people give it credit for. I mean, the whole point of this journey is to get a cure for this virus.
Right.
And the virus doesn't seem as menacing when they're not present, you know?
Right.
It's kind of like, what's the point of even going if they're not as bad as we're making it out to be, type of thing, you know? But in the game, like, I get what you're saying. Like, they're there in the game. It's just it's kind of like all at once. Like you fight a ton at once, and then after they die, you do a lot more exploring, which is where a lot of the like bonding between Joel and Ellie happened in the game. And a right. lot of that was cut out in the show. I mean, you got a couple episodes where they bond quite a bit, but like, I just didn't have that same connection between Pedro Pascal and I don't remember her name.
The girl from Game of Thrones.
Yeah. The girl from the Wiener show. Bella something, I think. Yeah. And like, you know, like they didn't do bad jobs, but it just, to me, it wasn't Joel and Ellie.
Right. One of my complaints with the show is, well, I don't know if this is a complaint or not, but they did a really, really good job, like matching the visuals from the game.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of comparison videos and it's almost spot on.
Yeah.
Like the TV show and the video game, just, trying to think of an example, but anyway,
the first episode is pretty much shot for shot for the game. Yeah. The first two are really close. The second episode, when they make it to the Capitol, in the video game, it's like the police that come and kill Trish, and you're trying to run away from them. And in the show, they turned it into the infected, like storming the building.
Right.
So that was the first like deterioration from the game and the show. Well, that, and then there was a couple race swap for characters. Like in the game, Joel is white. In the show, he's Hispanic. I don't care about that.
And Sarah's black in the show. And
yeah, I think she's like mixed, half black, half Hispanic. Maybe, I don't know. Or maybe the mom was a darker Hispanic. I don't know. But yeah, there's that. And then they also race swapped Tommy and his wife.
Oh yeah, his wife was
white in the game, and
she
black.
Wasn't pregnant in the game either, I don't think.
No, so. I don't think so either.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've played the game too, honestly. I started it and then I just haven't got back to it. But
the remake or the
remastered, the PS5 version. Yeah. Yeah. It was on sale for like $10 and I was like, all right, I'm going to pick it up because that's a pretty good deal. Unlike GTA 5, that's been on three separate consoles and now they're charging $70 for it instead of the right. $50 when it first came out. Anyways, the first big drift off from the game on the show is episode 3. So episode 3 focuses on Nick Offerman's character, whose name escapes me at the moment.
Oh, right. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's in the game, but the encounter in the game is so different than the show. So like in the game, uh-oh, shame. No, it's fine. Hopefully the noise cancellation cuts it out. We'll see. The episode, it focuses on him and his lover the entire time. And like, I'm not going to lie, dude, it might be my favorite episode of the season just because it was done so well. The character development between the two, you know, that episode did it right. I feel like there was a better connection between those two than Joel and Ellie throughout the rest of the show, to be honest. Right. Yeah, and then he kind of just, you know, settles down and just accepts that, you know, it is the apocalypse, but he found his love, so he doesn't have to be like mountain man and going out all the time.
Right.
But in the game, Joel and Ellie, dude, it's like a nonstop battle between them and the infected trying to get to his safe house, from what I can remember.
Okay.
And it was just chaos, and like I think his lover's name was Kevin in the show and in the game. Like they briefly mentioned Kevin in the game.
Right.
They're like, "Oh, who's Kevin?" He goes, "He was my partner." And a lot of people back then like mistook that as like, "Oh, you know, he was my tag along, my sidekick, not like an actual lover." But it's like, right. No. They definitely meant lover. That's why he hates him so much, because he's gone now, type of thing.
So I watched the show a few months after it was out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was spoiled for me a long, long, long time ago, that the third episode is just about Offerman and his boyfriend. So I'll be honest, I really liked the first part of the episode when he's doing all the prepping stuff.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. But then when it got to a lot of the love scenes, because I knew how it was going to end, I just fast forwarded through like 20 minutes of it until like some Raiders showed up or something. And then yeah. I watched it, and because I didn't want to get too attached, because I knew that they were going to die at the end. So
mm-hmm. That's fair. Yeah. It's crazy. They're having dinner, and I think Kevin, he wanted to die because he's like sick or something. He has some kind of disease, I think, or something.
Terminal disease. And he's yeah. Determined. Yeah.
And so, the plan at the dinner, that dinner was just for him to die. But the Nick Offerman was like, I slipped stuff in mine too. So we're both going to.
Yeah. It's kind of a Romeo and Juliet thing.
Yeah. And at first, his partner was like, oh no, you, and then he was like, oh, that's actually cute and heartfelt and all that stuff. And, but yeah, very, very Shakespearean.
Yeah.
To do that. My biggest gripe with that episode though, so at the end of the previous episode, Joel and Ellie get to like a secret stash, and he has that M4 that he took from the guard that he killed, and he goes, finding ammo for this type of rifle is very rare, so I'm just gonna stash it. But then he goes to Nick Offerman's house, who's fucking prepper man, and he makes his own ammo, and he has like a wall of any gun you can think of with tons of ammo, and he definitely had 5.56 there that he could have taken for the M4. And out of all the guns on that wall that he could have taken with them for the journey, he takes a lame bolt action rifle with no with no ammo, like no scope, any of that. So it's like, what is going on? You know, like that was, you know, poor writing on the writer's part. But like, it just baffles me that they're like, oh yeah, you know, I can't find any ammo for this M4. And then they get to Nick Offerman's house, and the dude has everything imaginable waiting. Right.
Probably even had 410 or something, so.
410 shotgun shells. What else? But
I liked how Ellie in that scene said, this man was a genius.
Yeah.
And you know, every prepper ever was watching that scene like, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah.
And then I would say from here on out is where it really only mildly throws in stuff from the game into the show.
Right.
Like the next episode, you know, they get, it's pretty accurate. They get to that, the city, and then the truck breaks down because they ran out of gas or whatever. And, but like in the game, you never like get to meet like the like little like faction of like raiders and stuff like that. And in this one, they got a, I don't know her name, but she was, I think she was in 2 and a Half Men. She was like that girl that was obsessed with Charlie Sheen. She would always like randomly pop up in their house, and they're always like, how did you get in here? Yeah. But like, she's like, you know, this like, I took charge and you failed, so I'm going to kill you, but I need you to tell me where these two specific people are. And if you do, I'll make your death quick. And then, yeah, it just, I didn't like that part. And like that actress is like really pushing to like get her own like sideshow for that character. And it's like, no, you don't need your own TV show. Your character wasn't relevant enough, and nobody cared enough to like wonder, oh, how did you get into power? And I want to see your side of when the outbreak happened. It's like, no. Nobody wants to see that.
Well, they made that, Walking Dead spinoff. Like Fear of the Walking Dead or whatever.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that. Like it had nothing to do with the other show.
No, nothing at all.
There's like one character that shows up in both shows, I think. But
not surprised on that one.
Yeah.
There was a couple spinoffs that failed. Fear the Walking Dead. Then they had another one that was like an internet show, but the episodes were only like 5 minute long. Thing.
Was that the guy with the crossbow? Did he get his own show? I can't remember his name.
I'm not sure. Oh, Daryl. He's going to. One.
Okay.
Now that the actual Walking Dead's done, he's getting a show. Then they're coming out with like a movie or two. Like there's a Rick and Michonne movie, I think.
Okay.
Which is weird because I thought Rick blew himself up in the show.
I think they... Yeah, he blows up a bridge or something.
Yeah, while he's on the
But then they show that bridge. He's okay afterwards or something like that. I don't know.
I you know, when I tried giving that show a second try, but I only made it to season 7 before I threw in the towel. I was just like, nah, I'm done. I can't do this. It's literally the same story every season after like season 3.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we find a new stronghold to go live in. Oh, no, there's raiders. Oh, no.
Humans. Oh, no.
Now there's zombies. We got to leave and start over. Yeah. It's just like it got so old so fast.
I agree.
But it's okay because that show's over now. But now we got Spinoff City happening. Anyways, back to The Last of Us. Then we're introduced to God. I wish I remembered their names. The guy that has his deaf little brother, Henry or whatever.
I think it was Henry.
That's pretty accurate from the game. You know, they're going through the little.
Like his brother wasn't deaf in the game, but that's
no big deal. Like no, it's actually a good unique take. I thought,
yeah,
adding that in there, it was pretty cool. And yeah, so like they go like underground where they're supposed to be more fireflies or whatever, and of course they're all dead, and they're right. All like, you know, they're hinting at what's going to happen later on in that episode. They're like, oh, they're, you know, this is where we put all the infected. They're down here. We shouldn't be down here. And then they're all like, where's all the infected at? Oh, maybe they all died from starvation. And then we make it to the little like town, abandoned town. And there's the sniper that's shooting at him in the house.
Right.
And, you know, they're slowly making their way up to the house to get the sniper. And then Joel gets the sniper. Then he gets on the sniper rifle and that whole town, like, shows up because they found out that's where Henry and his brother were.
Right. And the one chick who wasn't in the game.
Yeah.
Whose brother got killed.
Yeah.
Was just hard on, bent on getting Henry. Because he was one of the last collaborators that got away.
Yeah, forever, so. One of the last snitches still alive.
Yeah. And I didn't like that the kid was deaf because they did that in a Quiet Place. And so it's kind of like.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're doing that in every movie now? Okay. So.
Pretty much. Oh, yeah. If one movie's successful with an idea, every other movie has to copy it.
But it adds to the drama, so.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. But this is like where we actually finally get our first. Well, I think this was the last time they even showed up, the infected. All the infected that they were like, where are they? Well, it turns out that they were like chilling under the neighborhood and there was like a sinkhole that opened up.
Yeah.
And then they all started running out and they're just massacring all the people from the city that came to kill Henry or whatever. And we get our first and only time seeing a bloater.
Yeah, so the guy that did the bloater, he was the stand-in for Venom in the Venom movies.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of had Almond Best had the Jar Jar head on top of his head.
Yeah.
I had like a Venom head on top of his head, but he's just a big beefy dude. And so he got to play the bloater too. So I thought that was cool.
I saw some behind the scenes pictures and they actually made like an actual bloater suit.
Yeah.
And it looked great. And then they just painted CGI all over it. And I'm like, I understand using CGI as the tool like it's supposed to be, but like you don't have to fully erase that great prosthetic practical effect suit and add in like the CGI. Like I get that they want to make them look like gross and gooey and stuff like that.
Right.
But it's like you can just tell that the whole person was just fake. But the cool thing I like about that scene, the dude who has like, I don't know how to describe him. He was like her like right hand man, and gets his head ripped off. He was actually the voice actor for Tommy in the game.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of stuff like that. Yeah.
They even have the voice actor for Joel and Ellie show up. Joel's voice actor, I don't remember his name at the moment. Troy Baker. He's in the cannibal episode. He's the main cannibal guy's right-hand man who gets, I think Ellie like throws a hatchet into his face or something like that when she's on the operating table or whatever, when they're getting ready to like hack her up to eat her.
I think one of the nurses in the the operating room was the voice of Ellie.
No, it's the mom in the final episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I was like, I heard Ellie through her voice, and I'm like, oh my god, this is Ellie. Nothing against Bella, whatever her name is. I just feel like she was very uncomfortable with a lot of the dialogue that she had to say. Like when it came to like the pointless like extra swearing, you can tell it like it just didn't come out natural with her. Unlike like with Ellie in the game, who can curse like a sailor, and you're like, oh yeah, that's Ellie.
Yeah, one thing I really liked overall in the show versus the game is how they change it from spores to like those roots or whatever. Because having it airborne and everyone has to wear gas masks like all the time.
Yeah.
It's kind of like in The Walking Dead when everyone has the virus and everyone's going to turn when they die.
Yeah.
If it's airborne and can travel for miles, then you're basically screwed. Like there's no point in trying to, I mean, you can try to survive, but yeah, the sport thing was just, I don't know. It just can give you a lot of hope for humanity.
For sure. No, that, you know, I agree with that. That's not a bad change, but I think in the long run, the only reason why they did that is because Pedro Pascal was like, I'm already in one show where I can't show my face. I don't want to be in another one.
And I guess he's been bitching a lot on the other show about having to wear the helmet all the time.
And it's like, bro, we'll get into that. We'll get there. I feel like we're probably almost done with The Last of Us. The pacing of the show, though, was not the best.
No.
It was really bad. There were episodes where it drug until the last like 10 minutes and then all of this crap broke out and you're just like, huh?
Yeah. And a lot of them are really long. Like, yeah.
When it didn't need to be.
No.
Another thing too about it that really annoyed me is like when they meet up with Tommy at the commune in, I think, is it Colorado where he meets up with them?
I think so, yeah.
And the scene where they're like, yeah, this is our commune. And the wife's like, yeah, we're communists. And Tommy's like, what? No, we're not. She's all like, it's a commune. We all participate, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, I guess.
Yes.
I guess. I mean,
on it. Yeah.
I mean, like, yes and no. Like, I guess what you're pointing at is like the dictionary definition of what communism is,
right?
But then, like,
aren't they like democracy too? Like, don't they vote on stuff?
Yeah, which
that's not. Those are conflicting ideologies.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it was more of just a joke of calling it, you know, the fact that they're calling where they live a commune, so they're communists,
right?
I think that's what they were going for. I don't know. It's like not. It's
more like that line in the second Doctor Strange movie when she says, "Food is free in every other universe."
Yeah.
Like, shame on Earth for charging people for a hot dog.
Yeah. There's that, and then there's also. Have you seen the trailer for the Blue Beetle movie yet?
I think so.
So there's that stupid line at the very end of the trailer that's so annoying. So there's a part where the guy who has the Blue Beetle suit, he's like, oh, this is kind of like Batman. And then his dad or whoever is like, Batman's a fascist.
Oh, I'm yeah, like, I did see that. Yeah.
I was like, what was the point of throwing that in there? Like, why?
Right. If you watched The Brave and the Bold, like Blue Beetle was in there.
Yeah.
The cartoon. Of Batman. So it's kind of rude to throw that line in there.
Exactly.
Although I guess it's his dad, right?
I think so. Dad or grandpa.
Maybe he'll be the white dragon from.
No, I'm sure he dies.
Or something. So.
I'm sure he dies. He's probably the Uncle Ben of the Blue Beetle story.
Right.
I don't know. We'll see.
With power comes responsibility or something. So.
With responsibility comes the power of great. I don't know.
Yeah.
We know the line. Everybody knows the line. But yeah, dude, I like Blue Beetle. He was always fun in the Injustice games. He shows up, I think, in the second season of Young Justice. And he's been in a few of the DC animated movies. Really cool character. And this I'm excited for that movie minus that fascist line. It's like, can we just make one thing that doesn't involve politics, please?
Right.
Especially like superhero stuff. I'm so over it. Like, I thought Wonder Woman 84 really nailed the coffin shut with their Donald Trump take. It's just like, can we
I said not to mention that in our Pedro Pascal.
You're right. I had to, sorry.
But you're right. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, dude. I think Pedro Pascal was probably the best part of Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah. That's not saying much, though.
So. No, that movie was poop. Anyways.
I want to be the Alpha Predator. Yeah.
It's all right, because we're not getting Wonder Woman 3.
And everyone in the world gets their wish back. Yeah.
Ugh, that movie was bad. The first Wonder Woman wasn't that great either. Oh, unpopular opinion.
No, but it was fun.
It was. Like, it wasn't... The action was great. Like, everything about the first Wonder Woman, it was a solid, like, movie. It just... Once again, I've been saying this for a while now, when one thing is actually, like, decent, it gets overhyped like crazy, and people turn it into saying it's, like, the best thing ever made. Right. And it's like, no, it's just not crap. but The Last of Us, I don't know. I don't really have anything else to add.
There was the pastor episode. I could kind of see that happening, like in an apocalypse kind of thing, where some guy's like, starts misinterpreting the Bible to start his own cult kind of thing.
Oh yeah, that's the cannibals. Yeah.
Or okay. I forgot that's the same group. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, he was like that in the game too. Super cuckoo religious.
And I'll say something really nice about the actress that played Ellie in the show. After that whole like attempted sexual assault and everything, like she had an arc with her character, because before she was just this bratty, whiny. But after that, she was like, this is kind of serious, and like the world is dangerous. And she took things a lot more seriously after that. So
mm-hmm. No, that is true.
And she played it up really well, that she was like, mm-hmm. like, wow, this is not a nice place, and I should be more careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing about that scene, though, that I think the show failed miserably on. So in the game, she's still beating up the cannibal leader when Joel comes in and like grabs her off and is like, you're okay, you're safe, I'm back.
Right.
You know, and in the TV show, she walks out of the building and sees Joel. And I feel like the tension is not nearly as gnarly as it was in the game. And like, I get like they were saying they didn't want to make the TV show as gory as the game, but it's like, you know, that's one scene right there where like, the connection between the two of them got even stronger in that moment. And I didn't feel that way in the TV show.
And it was on HBO, so they could do it.
Yeah.
Like, they could have blood and gore and stuff. So,
yeah, I don't know. I don't, it's to each their own. It's just, yeah. there was a few missed opportunities in the TV show. I thought that could have been done just a little better, but overall it's a solid show. I'm not looking forward to the season two, though, just from what they've said already. They said it's gonna focus on the second game, and they're not really gonna cut anything out. And I'm like, so you're gonna leave everything in for the game that has more controversy than the first game, which is like the iconic legend that everybody loves,
right.
And you cut out most of the good stuff.
And the whole mall episode in season one, that was from a DLC, right?
Yeah.
That's like an extra chapter you could download, and it was like flashback.
Yeah, flashback of when Ellie gets bit.
I guess that's the same episode as the cannibals, right? Like, doesn't she?
Was it?
Or
I think it was right before.
Maybe it was right before.
Yeah, because it was its own thing. I think what happened is Joel got stabbed. Then she goes to the town or that neighborhood and
And then all that stuff happens.
Yeah, and then the next episode was the flashback, and then
she's trying to save him. It reminds her of trying to save her friend.
Yeah,
okay. Like she didn't do enough to save her, and so
yeah,
I don't know. That related somehow. So
that episode was okay.
Yeah.
I didn't play the DLC for the first game, but I get the gist of it. You're going around in the mall or whatever. And then,
yeah, I didn't either. And I was like, what the heck is this? Like,
But season finale was good. It was pretty spot on from the game. Though they did change the ending a little bit. In the game, Ellie knows right away that Joel's lying. Like, right off the bat about leaving and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And in the TV show, she's still like really messed up on all the laughing gas or whatever they gave her. So she's kind of still out of it when they're talking. But I know that's something they'll go into deeper in season two, because it was a big part of the first game or the second game. I know that gets brought up before they...
That was a little terrifying in the season finale. Like, they totally didn't even like start doing blood cultures or like anything. They're like, let's just cut her head open and slice her brain up to study it. Like, that was their first go-to.
Yeah, that is true.
It was like, oh, okay. So I think Joel's kind of justified in getting her out of there, because there's a lot of other things they could have tried first, in my opinion. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you know, he's... At this point, he's looking at Ellie as his daughter, like, and he doesn't want to lose her again. I get it from his perspective.
And I don't know if this was in the game, but when they're doing the flashbacks to when Ellie was born, like, the only reason why she's immune, maybe, is because her mom was bit as she was giving birth, so she got some of it through the umbilical cord or something.
Yeah, I don't think that was in the game. I don't remember that being in the game, but that's I like that they explained it somewhat.
But if that's the only reason why she's immune, then there's no reason to experiment on her, because she's like an anomaly. It's like when Blade in the movie, like, his mom was bit while she was giving birth. It's almost exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's why she's a daywalker in the show, where she's immune to the bite disease, just like Blade was. So
that is true. That is very, very true.
Dude, or whatever you want to call it. She's like a hybrid or something. So
I've been hearing that Blade remake is not going to be very good. The actor who's playing Blade, Herschel something Ali or whatever.
I don't know.
He's getting really mad because they keep rewriting the script and reshooting the movie. Because they're scared now, because they're not making money off of these new Marvel movies. So they're going and rewriting it, taking out all the stuff nobody wants to see.
Right.
You know, this is what happens when you cater to such a small crowd of people on the internet whose voice is really loud and demands all this stuff, but then they never go and support the stuff.
Right.
You know, like, why do you keep doing this to yourself? Like, stop. Like, you're going away from your core fan base, who's like actually keeping you guys alive and afloat, and then you cater to this group of people who don't care about any of the stuff. They just want to complain about everything and anything.
Right. And the same people, and I've what's the right way to say this? I'm not as hurt by modern TV shows and stuff anymore, because I realized that I'm not the target audience.
Yeah, exactly.
So
there's that too.
So if someone says like the Black Panther movies aren't for you, don't go see them, or it'll be racist if you do, then it's like, okay, I won't go see them.
Yeah.
Or like Captain Marvel, like, this movie isn't for you, so stay home. So it's like, okay. And then they're like, how come nobody went to go see it?
Exactly. Yeah. It's the same thing with like when Elizabeth Banks made that Charlie's Angels reboot.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of. She was like, this isn't for men. Like,
stay home. Yeah, exactly. It's like, this isn't a men's action movie. This is a woman's action movie. So men stay home, you know.
And they're like, how come you didn't go see the movie?
it bombed terribly in the box office, and then they're blaming men for the reason why it made no money. Right. And I'm just like, you guys need to make up your mind on who you want to go see your stuff. Jeez. Right. That's what happens when you only cater to one specific audience too. And like, let's be real, most girls don't care about action movies
for the most part,
let alone Charlie's Angels. Like, when people think Charlie's Angels, they immediately think about those early 2000s movies with like Drew Barrymore and all that stuff.
Yeah.
They don't think about the show from the 70s?
Yeah, 70s.
Yeah.
Maybe early 80s, but.
You know, which is, I believe, what that Charlie's Angels reboot was more based off of, mm-hmm. was the TV show.
Because there was like a Bill Murray character in the show.
Yeah, Boswell? Was that his name?
Boswell was in the show. And then like Charlie just talked to them through a... I didn't watch the new remake with Kristen Stewart.
It was like the little speaker, right? That Charlie would talk. Yeah.
I don't think I ever met him.
No. Well, I think they meet Charlie in the new ones, and it ends up being a female, if I remember right.
Well, there's a whole network of Charlie's Angels.
Okay.
Like there's hundreds of teams, and they're responsible for like everything throughout history or something.
Gotcha. Yeah, I forget. You actually saw this movie, didn't you?
No, but I listened to a bunch of people talk about it.
Gotcha.
And yeah, like there's like franchises with like different Charlie's Angels, like all over the country and the world. And
that's right, because like isn't like the Lucy Liu, Drew Barrymore group, they're still technically a Charlie's Angels group, right?
Yeah. Like they're just one of the groups.
Yeah. Like I don't think those people showed up in the movie, but they're referenced in it from what I heard. I think
there might be like a picture of them or something.
Yeah. Something. Yeah.
They did that with the Black Widow movie too. Like, oh, there's thousands of Black Widows all over the world shaping current events. And
but they also mentioned that in Age of Ultron a little bit too. We talked about that
incident.
Yeah. We don't need to go over that again. No. Black Widow was but it's only going downhill too. So, you got any other last words for The Last of Us?
I don't think so.
Me either.
I know nothing about the second one, so...
Me either. I didn't play it.
I've heard a couple of things on the internet, like, oh, wait till you see this, or whatever, but...
I bought it, because it was on sale, and it was dirt cheap, too, but I haven't played it yet.
I think, hopefully, the second season will be more of a surprise, because I have no idea what's going to happen, so...
Well, this is going to be some crazy stuff.
But that's when happens. I kind of had an idea of what was going on.
A lot of the second game takes place in Seattle. And from what I heard, they're trying to make Vancouver look like Seattle because it's cheaper to film up in Canada than it is in Washington State. Which isn't
too hard, to be honest. So.
No, well, I mean, honestly, Vancouver, British Columbia is like the second Hollywood now. So much stuff is filmed up there. That's where like all the like Arrow, The Flash, all those shows were filmed up there. Plenty of stuff's filmed up there.
Right.
We're going to go on to our second Pedro Pascal show, The Book of Bo-Katan. Dude, season 3 was Mandalorian. Honestly, like Mandalorian's never been like great. Like the first season was good because it was something different. We were on like the bounty hunter, the smuggler side of the Star Wars universe. We finally got something that's not focusing on Jedi and Sith. You know, Empire shows up a little bit in that first season.
Right.
But then second season, they took the parking brake off and just added everything. And I hated that. Dude.
Right.
Like Luke Skywalker showing up at the end was kind of cool, but like Ahsoka, I don't care. Don't care for Ahsoka, especially with the Rosario. What's her first name?
Rosario Dawson.
Yeah. Rosario Dawson. I just don't feel like she's a believable Ahsoka at all. She's very like, she's not even like the best actress either. She's always like monotoned and like never like tries.
Right. I'm waiting for her and Dante's baby to show up as Ahsoka Jr. or something from Clerks 2.
Yeah. I never saw the third Clerks. I heard it wasn't good.
No, but wasn't she pregnant at the end of the second one?
I think so. I don't know if she's in it though, because I think she's in it for a little bit because they can't afford her anymore because she's way too popular now.
Right. She was Gamora, right?
No, that was Zoe Saldana.
Yeah, never mind. Sorry.
No, Rosario Dawson just blew up. She was in a lot of bigger movies and stuff like that. And Kevin Smith's career from like Clerks 2 to where he's at now, you know, it's like he's nowhere near where he was. He can't make anything good anymore either. He's too busy crying all the time. Too much soy in his diet.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I still love Kevin Smith, even though he hasn't put anything out that's worth watching in a very long time. But yeah, season 3 of The Mandalorian, I keep wanting to call it The Book of Bo-Katan. I read a lot of spoilers before watching it, and I got to say about 80% of them came true. The biggest one.
I watched the whole season yesterday. So
yeah, the biggest one that I remember reading up on is the fact that Bo-Katan is going to take over as the main character, and boy, did they do that, and really early on too.
Right,
dude. Din Djarin was sidelined in his own show so hard.
So I think that's Pascal's fault. To be honest,
I think so too. I heard that he was doing a lot of fighting again this season. Because
in the second season, he takes off his helmet a lot.
Two times, I think.
Like they infiltrate the rebel base with Bill Burr. Yeah.
And there was no Bill Burr cameo in the third season. What's going on with that?
Right?
I was looking forward to it. What do we get instead? Lizzo and Jack Black.
He'll be in the, what's that third spinoff?
The Ahsoka show?
There's Ahsoka. There's going to be, I don't know if they're going to do it anymore. The Rangers of the New Republic. And then there's another one like Skull or Burnouts or.
I'm not sure. The Bad Batch?
No.
No, that's the animation. That's the animated show.
Let me see if I can find it really quick.
I know a lot of the stuff that they keep announcing for Star Wars is getting canceled.
Yeah.
A lot of it. Like, I just saw an article the other day that said the Kevin Feige Star Wars movie was actually never going to happen. And it's like, then why even announce it?
I have a theory on why season 2 and 3 kind of went off the rails.
It's because Kathleen Kennedy got involved.
Well, yeah. I think that's why it's bad. But yeah, I think
that's why the third season was bad. Like, hands down.
It's the third one. But I'm convinced that after Jon Favreau saw episodes 8 and 9, because he had a lot of creative control at first, I think he took it upon himself because he was involved with MCU, like Iron Man and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I think he was trying to figure out a way to put together all the horrible discontinuity stuff from the sequel trilogy. And he was going to make it all make sense. Like why Palpatine comes back somehow and all that stuff. So I think a lot of the second, third seasons, especially the third, are all leading up to the sequel trilogy.
Yeah, unfortunately. Because
they mentioned Hux.
Yeah. Well, his dad, that's his dad in that little group meeting in the second to last episode.
Okay.
The guy who brings up Project Necromancer, which is, that's the code for Palpatine.
Right.
That's the Palpatine clone. But yeah, that guy, that was General Hux's dad.
Okay.
Something Hux, which makes no sense to me because if I remember correctly, I don't remember a lot of The Rise of Skywalker, but I want to say they turned him into a spy, didn't they? And he's secretly been working with
Rebel Alliance. Yeah, in episode 9, he turned out to be an informant or a...
Yeah, and then they kill him or something. It's just ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
Oh, those movies, dude. They had no idea what they were doing, which really affected this show because they were trying to tie everything together. And it's just like, stop. Why are we doing this in The Mandalorian?
Right, but I've heard a lot of rumors that Favreau had all this worked out and Kathleen Kennedy keeps coming in and
changing everything.
Changing things.
Yeah.
And I guess he's really pissed off and upset that he's not getting his stuff done. And
I think what it was is, like with everything these days, when one person really likes one thing, which in this case is like the Mandalorian, like the armor and all that, and then, you know, at first it was just him and then like, there was like a few others that show up in the first season, you know, and then this third season, it's just like, I'm so tired of seeing Mandalorians.
Skeleton Crew, that's what it's called.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's, isn't Skeleton Crew going to be a part of the Ahsoka show?
Yeah, they're going to build into it. So Ahsoka, okay. Skeleton Crew and Mandalorian are all going to be tied together.
Yeah. I heard there's going to be a movie that has all of them in it.
Okay.
And it's going to be directed by Dave Filoni.
Yeah. And then what was I gonna say? Crap. Oh, so many times during the season, and this is kind of true for the last season too, but especially with this one, it just felt like you were at a Star Wars celebration or like a Comic-Con.
Yeah.
When you get like the 501st, you know what the 501st is, right?
Yeah.
But the dude, I know. Like stormtrooper armor. And I think there's a Mandalorian group too. But I remember back in the day, like 20 dudes would show up dressed as Boba Fett or with like modified Mandalorian armor.
Yeah, different color variants of Boba Fett armor. And so many times
just looked like a bunch of fanboys standing around in their homemade armor.
It was embarrassing. Doing
like fake fights and like practicing flips and judo moves and.
Would
be true, like in a Spartan kind of military civilization or whatever, but But it just felt like everyone was just kind of had this stupid grin on their face because they're so excited to be doing this fanboy presentation of their Mandalorian skills or something. So,
dude, no joke. And the thing that made me laugh the most whenever it showed all of the cosplayers, the color schemes of some of those armors were just embarrassingly bad. There was like one that was like bright pink and green or something, and I'm just like, what?
Yeah, going back to the fanboy thing, I know that some of these things are, for a long time there was a contest on like creating your own colorful Mandalorian armor, and then people would auction it off for charity. So I just felt like that was some of like the entries to one of those things, just
all these weird
colors and stuff. So they probably had a contest like a year or two ago at Comic-Con, like the top 10 winners will be in the show or something. So.
Dude, the what was it, the second episode where we're introduced to the guy from the first season that I forgot about, and then the chick from the second season that I forgot about, and they're both like working for the rebellion, and she like brainwashes him into like doing stuff.
Yeah.
And then she sets him up to make it look like he was trying to steal stuff so she could like actually steal something or whatever. That episode, I was like, and then they never touched back on it.
So if you've read 1984 recently, you'll recognize this, because in 1984, Winston is like the main character of the story. He starts having doubts about whether what he's doing is the right thing to do or not. And then he gets approached by this guy who says he's part of the resistance to like the socialist regime or whatever. And Winston keeps saying, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to join up. And he finally does, because the guy's like, no, this is really like a thing. And so he agrees to sign up with them. And then he just gets arrested and tortured until he says he loves Big Brother at the end, after they pull all his teeth out and stuff. And so that whole 45 minute clip in the show was just basically like a 1984 episode. It was like, I'm assuming this is going to go somewhere with the other properties, but it was like, what was the point of this?
Yeah.
We had this cool dogfight in the beginning of the episode, and then like it just stops. No, it was cool to see Coruscant and all that stuff, but at the same time, it was like, this is a Mandalorian show.
Yeah, dude, I don't get it either. Like, there was so much like failed buildup this season. Like,
yeah,
they show the Mythosaur in episode 2 or 3. I can't remember.
Yeah,
I think it was episode 2 for like a second. And then you don't see the thing again until the very end, when Go-Gurt is touching the water, and then like there's like a connection between him and the Mythosaur. So it's like, where are we going with that? We're going to see Go-Gurt riding the Mythosaur, not Bo-Katan. Like,
well, he can go with Boba Fett on his Rancor, and then the three chicks they brought back from the bird scene, the pterodactyl or whatever.
Oh yeah,
that are foundlings now. Like, they're gonna be riding those, because I guess like even since like,
well, they ate the birds.
They ate the birds.
Well, they show them roasting them. It's like if you blink, you'll miss it type.
I saw them roasting something. I was trying to figure out what that was.
It was the birds. They were eating.
Oh my god! Because the very first time you see Boba Fett in the Christmas special, that we're not supposed to talk about.
Yeah.
He's riding like a dinosaur, like a brontosaurus or something.
And is that like the early like Mythosaur lore type thing, probably?
No, I think that's just where they get the idea that Mandalorians ride around on monsters.
Okay.
Because they show him riding around on a bunch of other stuff in the comics and the books and stuff. So yeah, this, because you're wondering why they're in this area where there's all these dinosaurs eating their kids.
Yeah. Constantly, yeah.
But then you go to Mandalore and there's all these giant dinosaurs, so maybe that's made them feel comfortable or something. Like, being around danger makes you stronger or something.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just, Mandalorian season 3 left me with more questions than answers. It was all over the place. There was so many failed setups. Like, another one was when the armorer was making Go-Gurt's new armor piece or whatever, and she's like smacking it, and he's watching the sparks, which triggers his Order 66 PTSD. Right. And then we go back to that flashback of him at the Jedi Temple, and the guy who voiced Jar Jar Binks, you know, he comes and saves them because they turned him into who I thought was an interesting, cool character who I thought, oh, we're going to see some more flashbacks with this. Then they never touch on it again.
Yeah, he voiced the same Jedi Master in an episode of Rebels or Clone Wars or something.
Well, he also plays him. There's like an internet kids show where he's like in it as the same Jedi.
Is that when he's like in a 7-Eleven or something with his lightsabers?
I don't think he's in a 7-Eleven. It's more of him like showing kid, like younglings, how to use lightsabers.
Okay, maybe that's it then.
Yeah.
But I really liked that part.
I did too. It was great. And I was looking forward to more of it.
I mean, say what you want about Jar Jar and the prequels, but that guy really put his all into that role.
He did. You know, it's not his fault Jar Jar sucks. It's the way Jar Jar was written. He did a great job with what he was given. Especially considering, you know, George Lucas not being a great, like, director giving direction where he wants to go. You know, George Lucas's example is like, oh, just look a little angry, you know.
Do that again, but better.
Yeah, exactly. Well, tell me how. What do you want? I want you to do it better. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean? How? Just do it better. You got this. It's...
Yeah.
I think that's another reason why Anakin or Hayden Christensen didn't do nearly as well as Anakin, because he wasn't given
Because you see him in other stuff, he's great. So
yeah, he's not a bad actor at all.
No,
just awkward in those movies. Because I think wasn't Attack of the Clones his first movie, one of his first movies.
If it wasn't his first, it was one of his first. Yeah.
But yeah, I was bummed out that we didn't see any more from that, because I thought for sure we were going to see some more, because for a minute there, they were doing some, like, they would show some earlier flashback stuff more at the beginning of each episode. And then they kind of just stopped doing that like halfway through the season.
And that kind of made me mad when they're talking about Mandalore and stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of just walk around talking about how great everything was. Yeah. But they've shown that they'll do flashbacks in the show. So just do a flashback, because like they went to Mandalore a lot, like in the Clone Wars. So they have an idea of what it should look like and stuff. So just do that on their digital board or whatever that they use as a backdrop for the show.
Yeah.
So when she starts talking about how great her dad was and stuff, like just show some Mandalores like fighting and stuff or something.
No joke.
Because like I said, they do flashbacks. Especially in Book of Boba Fett, like every episode had half of it was a flashback to sand people.
Until they all died.
Every time it took a bath. Anyway.
Yeah.
So in this show, it would have been nice if he did the same thing. Like whenever they're talking about this, that, or the other thing, just show it. Like they did the Order 66 stuff. So
yeah. I would love to see more of that. Honestly, it was so cool. Especially like that was probably one of the better parts of the Book of Boba Fett too, is when they show the Order 66 stuff and that too.
Yeah.
You know, it was great. Just then they just, I don't know, drop the ball. I feel like there was a different story Jon Favreau wrote, and then
I think so too.
And then it just got destroyed.
And I really didn't like the episode with Lizzo in it.
No, me either. That episode was not good.
It was basically like they went to the Wall-E ship where everyone's sitting around in chairs drinking shakes.
Dude, it was
And the robots are taking care of everything. I mean, that was literally what they did. And that's a Disney property. So it was like, do you really need to like push for Wall-E? Like, is there a sequel coming out? I thought that was pretty lame that in the middle of the show, you just have this weird culture that, that just kind of took you out of the story.
It did, dude. There was so many of that. Like, I really feel like they were focusing more on like big name celebrity cameos than telling a good story this season.
And not even big name either. Like Tim, what's his face?
I don't know, dude. Jack Black's a pretty big name.
No, but the colonel of the
Oh, yeah. The guy that they based the character off of, who actually ended up playing him.
The one that, the Asian guy that's going to be the Ranger of the Old Republic or whatever, New Republic. They go to Tim Meadows from Saturday Night Live, who was in like Mean Girls 20 years ago.
yeah.
He's one of the bureaucrats that says no. And he's like, you know, who cares about the Outer Rim kind of thing?
Yeah.
He'll probably get his own show.
Dude, and like, what are they doing with Grogu?
It'll be like The Office, but in Star Wars, where it's just this group of people just telling jokes around the water cooler all day long.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, just like that, another, to go back on another false setup is, you know, she gave Grogu that new armor piece to put on his chest. And I thought, oh, we're going to see that later on in the show. And then I don't think they ever showed it, right? He never got stabbed in the chest.
I saw a screenshot of him wearing it, but I never saw. And is he wearing the chain mail under his
robe? I think so. He's still wearing that too. Yeah.
So when the three proletariat guards or whatever were going after him, one of them should have hit him in the chest, kind of like Frodo and the troll.
Yeah.
In the Lord of the Rings. And then like almost everyone's like, oh my God, they just killed Baby Yogurt. Yeah. And then he's got that breastplate on that stopped it or something.
Yeah.
They could have totally played a scene like that. But
exactly. But no, what do they do instead? They give him a droid mech suit.
Yeah.
They turned him into Krang for a little bit.
I was laughing so hard when he got into that thing. I was like, what?
And he can say yes or no.
Yeah.
And he abused the hell out of it.
Like maybe give him 10 more buttons that say different things. That would have been funnier. But yeah, he's just walking around grabbing food like Jar Jar.
Yeah.
Oh, here comes your cat again.
Yep. She went down.
Yeah. But yeah, that was annoying. It was kind of cool though, sort of.
Yeah, like it wasn't bad, but the fact that he didn't even do anything major in the suit really ruined him having it in the first place. Like, yeah, okay, he got the Praetorian guards off of Din Djarin for a little bit.
Right.
Oh, that's another thing that pissed me off, is how the fuck can Din Djarin take out Praetorian guards, but two very well-trained Jedi can hardly take on four of them in The Last Jedi?
Oh, right. Well, Rey didn't get trained at all, so...
I know, and she was still a phenomenal Jedi.
Right. She was all a Jedi. So.
Yeah. Honestly, who? No, does Bo come and take him out? Is that how they die? I can't remember. Like, I just watched that episode, but I don't remember how they die.
I'm pretty sure Din Djarin and Baby Yogurt work together. Like, Yogurt keeps knocking their weapons away.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and, yeah, that's what it was.
Force
yeah.
pushing him while he's like taking him down one at a time, kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's what it was.
He was full on beast mode in that episode. That was kind of cool. With the episode one force fields that were opening up, and he was fighting like each pair of guards one at a time, kind of thing. And
yeah,
pushing
yeah.
them off of things and
ugh.
Open the next gate. I did like the mouse droids. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, no, dude. Yes
stupid,
and no.
Funny. Yeah.
Like it was, but it wasn't. Like, I don't know. We're almost done. I think we can record for 2 hours before it stops. I don't think it stops at an hour. We'll see.
We'll see.
If it stops here, I don't know. It's still learning the new software that we're using.
I was waiting for him to jump up in the air and spray oil all over him like R2-D2 to do with the super battle droids.
Right, or something.
And then set him on fire.
Let's talk about the fact that they've been setting up the Darksaber to be something special, and then Moff Gideon destroys it for absolutely no reason.
Yeah, that kind of bugged me.
I was like, well, what was the point of that?
Because that's been going on for a long time with like the Clone Wars.
Yeah, well, even way before the Clone Wars.
Seasons 2 and 3 of The Mandalorian, like it's so important and you gotta have it.
Well, it's even in like Star Wars like lore, like this the Darksaber is like the thing that like got the Mandalorians to like retake Mandalore back in the day, you know? During the big giant civil war or whatever it was.
it's like 1,000 years of history with this thing. Yeah. And then let's just crush it. And,
yeah. Dude, I'm so tired of Moff Gideon. I hope he's dead for good this time.
I would not have been surprised if Luke Skywalker showed up in that scene and just took the Darksaber and threw it over his shoulder. Like in the start of episode 8. Yep. Like, why not? Just take a dump all over everything. So
yeah, it's just, I don't know where we're going to go with that now.
Yeah.
This season it just took a big crap on everything.
So my opinion of the, because we were talking about how there isn't really a theme in this season.
There's not. It's just,
I think I figured it out. It's about uniting the Mandalorian people so that Bo-Katan can lead them. Because she had a pretty interesting arc where she started accepting the other clan and like trying to learn about why they leave their helmets on and how they eat with their helmets on, and start saying this is a way a lot instead of making fun of them as like a cult.
I think it was because at the time she had nothing left.
True.
She was outcasted by the other Mandalorians.
She didn't get the Darksaber.
Yeah. Her castle was destroyed by Moff Gideon. Right. So she was like, well, I guess I'll come live with the Neanderthals.
Right. It's kind of like in New Hope when Luke's farm gets destroyed by the stormtroopers. Yeah. And Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru get burned up. And he's like, well, I got nothing left for me here. I might as well go with you to your adventures I didn't want to go on. So...
I feel like there was
hundreds of parallels with other Star Wars stuff in this show, which makes it Star Wars-y, which is a word they use a lot when people are complaining about the prequel trilogy. But it feels almost overdone. Like, let's have one of the characters say scum and villainy because they said that in episode 4. And then let's include this droid because it was from this thing. And then let's make sure we make the same sound as this scanner from this movie. And I don't know.
Man, I was like, one of the rumors I remember reading for the season finale was that Boba Fett showed up, and I was really expecting him to show up with his Vespa scooter gang. Like, I was praying for him. Like, please let these turds show up. And then it didn't happen.
And they got like Ramones patches on their jackets and like, yeah.
The cyberpunks. Oh yep. My God, dude.
The kinks and...
At least the Book of Boba Fett had like a coherent story you could follow. This show had, it was just diarrhea after diarrhea.
I'm pretty sure that's what they meant for the story for this season was its story of Mandalorian or Din Djarin and Bo-Katan, who are like from different warring factions of Mandalorians.
Yeah.
And how they have to like learn to understand each other. I'm surprised they didn't make out at some point.
Dude, it was so embarrassing how they made Din Djarin simp so hard for her.
Right.
For Bo-Katan this season. It's like...
I started making a list of all the times he failed at stuff, but I
Which gave is up. Like almost every single time he's ever tried to do anything.
Like the first season, he starts up IG-88 again, and then it's basically Terminator at the very end of the first Terminator movie, where it's just a head and an arm.
Yeah, crawling like at
trying
him.
To get baby yogurt. And he can't defeat it.
No. Like,
and the protocol droid has to push the bust over to like land on his head or whatever.
I noticed with Din Djarin, he became a big time failure when his bolt action rifle was destroyed.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
After that thing was gone, he's been a big like he can't do anything. He literally fails at almost everything he's tried. And I wonder if that's because more of like, we don't like Pedro Pascal, so we're going to make his character kind of like weak and...
Yeah, I feel like the more he complained about having to leave the helmet on all the time when he's playing a character that one of his tropes is that he wears his helmet all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more he complained about that, I think the more they just stuck a stunt double in the suit.
Oh, yeah.
And just brought him in to do some voiceover stuff.
I feel like, from what I've heard, in the first two seasons, he actually was in the suit a couple episodes.
Yeah.
But I heard in the third season, he didn't play, he wasn't there at all. It was all just voiceover work.
And I don't think he takes his helmet off at all in this one.
No, he doesn't.
So in theory, none of this seems to be Pedro Pascal.
I think part of his punishment, and this is some of the rumors that I was reading up on,
right.
For the third season... his contract wasn't like an actor contract. It was just a voice actor contract. So he got paid drastically less money because he was never physically there. It was all just voiceover work.
Okay. Because it feels like he never left the Simpsons studio or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly. A lot of that. You're not going to walk all over my laptop. Now you're on the podcast.
Anyway, I think the whole point of the season was to show like the Mandalorians coming together and retaking Mandalore and like coming that just becoming a faction to be reckoned with. Because the Clone Wars weren't that far off in the past, like 30, 40 years.
Something like that, yeah.
Maybe even less. I'm not sure. But
because if I remember right, the first season of The Mandalorian takes place 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there, something like that.
Return of the Jedi was like 8 years. Let's see, plus 20. So yeah, about 30, 35 years after the Clone Wars ended. Or maybe I'm not. I don't know. I'd have to sit down and map this out. But anyway. Because Bo-Katan was in the Clone Wars. So she can't be that old. If she was like 20 or so fighting the Clone Wars, she's got to be like 40 something.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, because it's like she had to have been relatively young in the Clone Wars because the actor is like, you know, she's not very old. You know, I would early 40s, mid 40s, somewhere around there.
So the fall of Mandalore, because they used to control like 1,000 planets. And that was like one of the subplots of the Clone Wars is they had like the Confederacy of Separatists or whatever, and then you had the Republic, and then you had this 1,000 worlds controlled by the Mandalorians, and they were trying to get the Mandalores on their side so that they could fight the Separatists kind of thing. Like they're getting wooed by both sides, and then the Empire, when it's formed, destroys Mandalore. So that was only 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I think. So it's not like it's this destroyed civilization for hundreds of years. I mean, this is fairly recent. I mean, you meet guys on Mandalore. They're in that sailboat thingy that had been there since it was destroyed. So
God, that was so stupid.
I'm surprised they weren't fishing. Like, what show was it where Captain Rex and all them had a boat like that that was going around the desert? And they would fish for giant sandfish or something.
Was that Rebels?
I think so. Like Rebels season 2 or something.
Yeah, I think it was Rebels. So. Yeah, and then there was that episode that was titled The Spies. And like I know who one spy was because they already confirmed her as a spy in that episode, the short-haired girl, the boring one from season 2 of Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah.
But they, you know, it was plural, so there should have been at least one more spy, and everyone was like, throwing up their, you know, their opinion on who they thought it was on YouTube, and a lot of people, the armorer girl. Yeah, the armorer was one. The armorer, the wrestler girl, what's her name, Sasha Banks, and the dude who went up and was like, "Oh, I'm going to use the capital ship as like a distraction." And I thought for sure when after he like got everybody out, he like boarded the ship and was getting ready to like fly it. I'm like, "Oh, this guy's about to kill all those Mandalorians he just sent down," you know, but then he ended up not being a spy. And I'm like, so who's the other spy? There has to be one more. Like, why would you call it the spies if it was not plural?
Was that the same episode? They told everyone that R5 was the spy for.
No, that was way earlier in the season. No, I'm talking about the episode, like right at the right when Moff Gideon shows up. It's called The Spies, but like they only showed one spy. So I don't know.
I was cracking up at the end because, you know, there's a Marvel trope where the hero always fights the villain with the same powers.
And that's what I was meaning earlier, where I'm so tired of Mandalorian. Like even the fucking stormtroopers were
Mandalorians. Yeah, like we made our own Mandalorian armor and now we're going to fight Mandalorians with Mandalorian armor.
So dumb.
Okay, I didn't know what you meant by that, so...
Yeah, well, we went off topic, and I didn't get to go where I wanted to go with it. But yeah, we're there now, so it's all good. Dude, yeah, I'm so sick of that. Like, the villain and the protagonist and the antagonist have to have the same ability and powers. Like, no!
They might as well have Jeff Bridges play the Ironmonger or whatever.
Have him show up in the Star Wars show.
He's in the instead of Grand Moff, or not Moff, Gideon had the Mandalorian armor basically with the helmet and everything.
It was so, dude, he looked like a Darth Vader.
Because it is Jon Favreau, and that's how the first Iron Man movie was. It was he made his own suit to fight Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt kind of like that, like he just made his own Mandalorian suit to fight the Mandalorian.
But then everybody has a Mandalorian suit. That right. That battle too, that stuff was so inconsistent. Like,
right.
There were times where the Mandalorian blasters were killing the stormtroopers, yeah. And there were other times where they were just bouncing off the arm. It's like, which is it? Make up your mind. You guys can't even.
And I was screaming at the TV, just use the Darksaber to cut a hole in the wall. And then like 3 minutes later, she's like, oh yeah. Dude,
well, there was no point for that guy to die.
No, because they're like, there's too many of them. You go. And then yeah. He just
and then he kills,
beats them all.
Beats them all. And I'm just like, what? And then the Praetorian guards show up and take them out. And it's just like, really? That's how you're going to introduce them? Like, it was just so poorly written.
Yeah.
And it's like, that guy never had, like, had big roles in the show anyway. So it's like, his death wasn't, like, as impactful, I feel like.
I'm just glad Snoke didn't show up to beat him at the end with Force Lightning or something.
Not yet. Give it time.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be a fourth season of the Book of Bo-Katan.
It's already been, they're already filming it, I think.
Oh, really?
It should be done this fall, I think. So
I'm going to go ahead and assume they're going to kill off Din Djarin.
I think so, too. Or they'll have him go off with Yogurt somewhere or something.
I think they're going to keep Baby Yoda in the story, but they're going to get rid of Din Djarin.
They should just take Baby Yoda over to Ahsoka and just have him be your sidekick the whole show.
And here's another thing, too, that really annoyed me with Baby Yogurt this season. So he had the choice to continue training with Luke to unlock his full potential in the Jedi, in his powers and all that stuff, which he declined because he looks at Din Djarin as his father or whatever. And, you know, I get it, whatever.
Right.
But then in the season finale of this show, he's using all of these powers that weren't really ever, I mean, like, his powers were kind of established in the past, but like, how does he go from barely being able to use them to like being able to save multiple lives while holding back these engulfed, you know, a ship that just blew up, you know?
Right.
Like, well,
if you watched Obi-Wan Kenobi,
which I didn't,
I know,
I think I watched two episodes and I fell asleep both times.
And I hope to talk about it when we do the recap episodes, but
we can, no problem.
But he's on Tatooine for like 8 years and he's not using the Force at all, and so he can't really use the Force until he gets emotional or something. And so I think someone was trying to explain that's why Gogurt can't use his powers, because he's been hiding them for 30 years, but now he's started like using them again and he's got love, then he's like able to use them again as like,
okay,
like a Padawan kind of thing. So
gotcha. Okay. That makes a little bit more sense, but still it's just like,
cause like in the first season, if he used the Force, like he'd pass out. After
And he didn't do that.
No,
this time
he kind of sunk to his knees at one point after a big battle, but
I don't think
he keeled over. So
no, not at all. And I think that's also them trying to show that he's getting stronger too, I guess. Yeah. Like, and I get that, but also it's just like, I don't know. I guess I don't know what I want from this character.
Yeah, I don't either. Like, he's 55, but he can't talk.
No. Well, we're getting there. He's not English, but he's starting to speak Gogurt language now.
I just, when I was watching the series, I was really upset that he wasn't eating any like sentient beings, eggs or like frogs or anything.
No, but there's that
little episode. She starts feeding him shrimp from her lap or something. I'm like, now I wish I didn't want that. So,
and then there was the episode where people are speculating that the very first Star Wars F-bomb was dropped in.
Oh, but really?
It's the episode, I think, where he gets the robot suit, Gogurt, and it focuses on like the little guys, the little Babu Frick guys, yeah, who like made it, and like one of them's walking by Baby Yogurt, and he's like swearing at Baby Yoda in his own language, and people are like, oh, that was definitely the F word right there.
Okay, because you can basically tell what they're saying most of the time.
Yeah.
Those little guys.
Yeah, he just went off just like, you know, this annoying little fucking shithead or whatever it was. And it's just funny. Like, yeah, I was like, yeah, all right, that makes sense. There was a lot of like cameos this season. Like there was a couple times when they go into the bar, there was like Dave Filoni. I don't think it was Jon Favreau, but there was a couple other big names that were there too. I just don't remember who.
Okay.
And then they showed, I think he was the big purple dude. He was in the second or third episode when they go into the bar. And I guess he was like the guy from Rebels.
Right. It was like the original design of Chewbacca kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Or something like that.
I don't know his name, but I like how they put him in there, but they didn't make a big deal about it.
No, they did.
So if you didn't watch the show, you don't know who he is. But if you did watch the show, you're like, okay, that's cool. He's in there.
There's a lot of those like nonchalant cameos in this show.
Yeah.
But I really hope they go back and touch on more of like Baby Yoda leaving Coruscant during Order 66 or whatever planet he was on, whatever planet the Jedi Temple's on.
I think it's Coruscant. Yeah.
I want to see more of that. I want to see more of that Jedi too, because that dude obliterated those clone troopers.
Yeah, so I'm hoping he comes back, because
I want him to. I want to see cool. more of him. He was more interesting than anything else that yeah. season. I just don't know why are studios so afraid to let people take risks? Like, especially when like it works, like the first season of Mandalorian,
right?
We've never seen anything like it. It became like the biggest thing when it came out. And now we're at the point where they're like, they want to keep playing it safe and just recycle the same crap over right. and over again. And it's just like, stop. This is why the first season was so good, 'cause it had none of this in it. And now here we are right back to Palpatine and Luke Skywalker right. and everything Star Wars. It's like, you know, they announced that one movie that's supposed to focus on the very first Jedi to ever exist. Somehow Palpatine and a Skywalker is going to show up in that somehow.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Yeah.
It's just, you know, there's so much you can do in the Star Wars universe, and you guys just stick to the same like four things.
Yeah. Like Tatooine, Skywalker, yeah, Stormtroopers,
yeah, lightsabers, AT-STs, Darth Vader,
and the same lines over and over again. Yeah,
it's like we get it. That's how I felt. I went and saw the new Evil Dead yesterday, and it was as far as a horror movie goes, it right. wasn't bad, but as an Evil Dead movie, I didn't think it was that great. And they throw in all of the line, you know, Dead by Dawn, all that crap from the other Evil Dead movies. And it's just like, why? This movie has nothing to do with actual Evil Dead. Like, I guess this is a reboot. It's not even set in the same time as like the Bruce Campbell Evil Dead movies. Because right. when they show the Necronomicon, it's redesigned and everything. So that's when I was like, oh, this is like starting fresh. I thought it was just like, you know, we focused on Ash so much with the Evil Dead stuff, we're going to focus on a different group of people that have to fight deadites or whatever.
Doesn't but then it turns in a skyscraper or something.
Yeah, it's like a giant apartment building.
So is it kind of like Dread, where he has to go from level to level to survive?
No, I wish. It's very it's only on the main floor. So like there's a giant earthquake that happens and it takes out the stairs, and then the elevator stops working.
Okay.
And they find the Necronomicon in this like abandoned like little like shelter that was like under the building, and they only got to it because like a giant like hole opened up in the ground in the parking garage, and one of the kids goes down and finds the book and brings it up and some other stuff.
Do they read it, or is there a recording of it, or?
Yeah. So, okay. So whatever, spoilers. If you don't want to hear about Evil Dead, stop listening right now. Or Evil Dead Rise. That's what it's called. So yeah, basically the kid that finds it, he's a DJ. And when he goes down and finds the book, there's two like actual like records that they use to like record the transcript of the book. So he puts that on his DJ thing.
So it is, and just that's like the first one kind of.
Yeah. And that's what activates the demon or whatever. And it's just like, God, this is so stupid.
I liked in the original that's how the demons are released, because they put the tape in and start playing.
Yeah, which makes sense because it's an actual tape. This was an actual record that he puts on
his... Heard it on vinyl?
Yeah, vinyl. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. And he starts playing it, and then they say the words, and then he tries to take the needle off the record, and it's too late, and the demon awakens and takes over the mom, and then it gets weird.
Okay. But yeah, I liked that in the original Evil Dead, because you didn't have to have one of the kids say, oh, I can read Sanskrit or whatever it was written in.
Yeah.
They just had a recording that they played, and then that.
Yeah, because there was, when they're flipping through the Necronomicon, there wasn't a whole lot of actual like script writing. It was mostly just like
pictures.
Gross pictures.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you have anything else to say about Mandalorian season 3 or
not that I can think of? It just wasn't good.
Okay.
I just
binge watching all at once. I think I enjoyed it more than I would if I waited week to week to watch it.
Yeah, it just jumped from one thing to the next.
There was like three episodes that were almost completely unnecessary that they could have just left out.
Exactly.
I did appreciate how short some of them were, though, because it wasn't like Stranger Things or Last of Us, where sometimes they're like an hour and a half, 2 hours long. There's just
I think there was
get one it over episode with.
That was almost an hour, right? Or maybe a little over an hour, but yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't have anything else to add. I just really hate that they sidelined another character to put another female into the lead position.
Right.
Like they're doing with everything.
With everything. They even call her a princess a couple of times, which is true because her dad was like the king of Mandalore or whatever, but and she ruled for a while. So I think that should make her a queen, not a princess, but
she ruled and failed.
When she went to the Jack Black planet, they called her like princess something.
Yeah.
And then another time she called herself a princess. I'm like, oh, got another Disney princess. Hooray.
Yep. But yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. So Kathleen Kennedy was bitching about how there's no source material for Star Wars and they gotta like come up with stuff for these movies.
But they don't come up with anything.
So this is a book about Star Wars books. And there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books written about Star Wars. And then here's another book, because she said there's no comics out there either. It's all about Star Wars comics that came out over the last 50 years. And these are outdated. These don't include all the new canon stuff.
No, I was going to say those are probably pretty old at this point.
But there's they're pulling stuff from Legends. They're talking about, what's his name? Grand Moff.
Not Moff Tarkin, not Grand Moff Tarkin, but Thrawn.
Blue guy.
Yeah, Thrawn. Thrawn's coming back. Yeah. He's coming back for
Ahsoka. Yeah. And Boba Fett 4 or whatever, so.
Are they making a second season of that show?
I mean, Bo-Katan, sorry.
Oh, Book of Bo-Katan. Yeah, yeah. Yep. I don't know how they're going to do it. Like I said, I know there's supposed to be a movie that's supposed to, like, have everything come together and, like have it all
make... Like a game kind of thing?
Yeah, but now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, this is going to be a big mess and nobody's going to like this movie. It's probably going to end up just getting canceled like everything else.
Well, they won't need Pedro Pascal to be in it because they could just have the suit. If they do a movie and he wants like $500 million because that's what Robert Downey Jr. got or whatever, they can just say, bye. We can just have someone else do your lines with a filter, you know?
Yep. Oh, dude, I think it's already at the point where they're going to say bye to him anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he's going to make it through season 4, but
no,
I could be wrong, so...
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. We'll find out in like a who knows when it's going to come out.
I think
out.
It was really dumb that they had, was it two episodes of Book of Boba Fett that were Mandalorian episodes, or was it just one?
It was two.
Okay. And there's only like seven episodes in that show. So, and it was like a 3-year gap between season two and three. So if you watched season two and like Yogurt leaves at the end.
Yeah. And then you're watching season three. You're like, why is he back?
Like what happened? Like,
yeah,
it's kind of like when episode 9 came out and they're like, well, we announced this thing in Fortnite about Palpatine coming back. And you're like, what?
Yeah. Or like with Alien Covenant, you had to watch all these like YouTube videos to like understand the story. It's like, why are we doing this? The whole point of watching this movie is to watch the movie to find out the story, not all this other crap.
Like if they cut the whole 1984 episode out and the whole Wally episode out and just put those two episodes from Book of Boba Fett in the beginning, it would have been a better season if you ask me. So,
oh yeah, I think you called it earlier, though. I think this season was more of like a punishment for Pedro Pascal than it was to actually like please the fans.
And for a punishment for Jon Favreau, too, for daring to try to break the mold or something. So
he was doing so good, too.
I hope someday we like it once he's out of his contract or something, he can give an interview and just trash talk Kathleen Kennedy and all these other people.
Well, the problem with that is usually when their contract ends, they have an NDA that lasts forever.
Oh, really?
Which causes them not to be able to talk about it. Then they have to wait till that's up.
That's probably what set him off. His lawyer probably told him, like, look, you can't be complaining about this stuff because you signed this thing that says in small print on page 412 of your contract.
That Kathleen Kennedy can come in and ruin it. Yep. It's so dumb.
Yeah.
I wish they would fire her. I really do. At this point, I don't think there is any redemption in saving Star Wars, but just give the fans what they want. It's not hard.
No.
If you want to make money, just give them what they want.
Yeah. Like season one of Mandalorian.
That's all you got to do. It's not hard.
Everyone was so stoked about the first season. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's you, these studios, we're scared. It's like, don't be scared. This is what people want. If you give them what they want, people are going to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants Mandalorian stormtroopers fighting Mandalorians.
Right. You got to make them special. Know, and now they're not special.
I don't want Moff Gideon clones.
No.
I'm tired of him showing up in the last two episodes of every season,
too. Yeah.
I'm so, like, okay.
So we didn't technically see his body, although a big spaceship landed on top of him, but he's not necessarily dead, so...
I'm praying he's dead, because I do not want to see him show up again.
Because they faked his death in the first one, like start the TIE fighter blew up or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he climbs out of it. Yeah. Did they kill him again? Or was that the end of the second
season? No, he got captured in the second season.
Oh, that's right. And then they sent him to... But then he got out of the Lambda shuttle that they found floating through space somehow.
Yeah, just randomly found it.
Yeah. The same guy that's investigating everything.
I like him, though. He's a good character.
Yeah, and he's saying everything's connected.
I'm glad he had a bigger role this time around. I also did love how they're showing how weak the New Republic really is, too, and how they have to pick and choose who they save and protect.
Right.
Like, I thought that was kind of
cool. We're
only
like 20 years from episode 7. So it's like, what's the deal with this resistance and why is there a new order and Earth order or whatever? Yeah. So.
So, in the long run, season 3, there was some good stuff in season 3. But overall, it's nowhere near the first two.
Right. I just feel like there were several episodes in 2 and 3 where they were setting up other shows.
Oh, yeah. That's
because Boba Fett shows up in season 2, right?
Yeah, at the beginning, I think.
I think the first episode's Tim Oliphant with the armor, and then Boba Fett shows up and get it back or something.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Okay. Timothy Oliphant, that guy.
But if
his character was fuck great, and then they kill him.
Don't put like 5 pilots for new shows in every season.
Yeah.
If you're not going to do those shows because you don't like the stars of the show.
Exactly. Well, that or like you know, season two of Mandalorian, I feel like was really trying to set up for the Ahsoka show too. Yeah. And then the Ahsoka show still not out. And season two of The Mandalorian came out in 2019, 2020.
It ended in 2020. I don't remember when it started. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I got.
That's all I got too.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, where we're going to call it, guys. Next episode, maybe a catch-up episode, maybe not. We'll see, unless something else pops up we want to talk about beforehand. But
okay.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for checking it out, and we'll catch you guys on the next one.
All right. Sounds good.
Bye.
Bye-bye.